hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts, Jacob Cazell and Jeff Janey.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. I believe that this is episode 78, but honestly, I've kind of lost track. I am your co-host, Jacob, and with me, as always, is my intrepid cohort, co-host, co-anchor, co-whatever you want to call him, Jeff Janey. Jeff, how are you doing this fine day?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm an idiot.
Okay.
And I don't really know that it needs much qualification beyond that.
Are we going to get to any new news, or are we just going to rehash old stuff?
Oh no. It's so, you know, here's the thing. Working on your house is a bad idea because work begets work. And I know that I've mentioned in passing some things that, you know, I'm doing around the home on the show. And you and I have talked about, you know, some things that we are doing. And so I have actually been off the last few days working my tuchus off. Just like it is fun. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, would it be great to wave my magic wand and have a team of people come in and Mike Holmes my house all to death? Absolutely. But I do get a bit of pleasure out of doing it myself and, you know, seeing a job well done and or job done or a job just hastily thrown in with cursing and just a final effort and nailing something to the floor. Because that's usually, you know, it starts out with the best of intentions and ends up with the, you know, just air nailing something randomly somewhere and calling it good enough. And so, as you know, Jeff, and I don't know that our listeners do, we have undertaken the just insane project to put hardwood flooring in. And, you know, we went out and we bought floors and we came back and then we started ripping up floors and so the foyer and the kitchen both had subfloors on top of the subfloor that we had to get out. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you about a tool that you didn't know existed. You probably don't even care, but boy, there is somebody out there, I just know it, who needs this and doesn't know they need it. And I'm going to tell them this and save them a world of hurt. So when they built our house, they put a subfloor, a half-inch subfloor in, and then that's on top of the underfloor that's laying on top of the joists. And that's only in the kitchen. And then they put the kitchen in, put all the cabinetry and all of that fun stuff. And then they put down linoleum. And then at some point, they put down more linoleum. And then at some point, they put down a quarter inch of plywood and then more linoleum on top of that. So getting all of this out, we got all the way down, like we got most of it ripped out and I'm up as close as I can get with a circular saw to the cabinets and it's still like 6 or 8 inches away. And I'm like, oh crap, the cabinets are sitting on top of this flooring. Like, what do we do? How do we get this out? Like, are we going to have to pull out all of these cabinets? That wasn't in the plan. And so the internet to the rescue, there is a miraculous device. It is called a toe kick saw. And what it is it is a circular saw with a big long neck, like a 6-8 inch long neck on it. And it has a little tiny whirly blade of death. It's only like 3.5 inches, maybe 4 inches around. And its sole purpose is designed to flush cut up against a wall or a cabinet against a subflooring for exactly the problem we had, which is the cabinets are sitting on top of a floor that needs to be cut out. Well, by golly, you go to the tool rental place and for 24 bucks and some change, they hand you one of these things and you come home and go zip, zap, zoop, and it just cuts it right out. And we got done in like an hour today what would have taken literally an indeterminate amount of time with swearing and hacksaws and I don't even know what tools to get it out. So friends, listeners, if you ever need to flush cut up against something that you just cannot get a tool up against, a toe kick saw is your best friend. You could probably find it at a tool rental shop for not a lot of money. And holy cow, it makes a world of difference. And so God bless you, Sunbelt Tool Rentals. You literally saved my day. And I love it so much. I should really put it what I love, but since I didn't buy it, I feel a little disingenuous doing that. But I know you are not a home renovation kind of guy, but I enjoy it until I run into a problem like that. And yeah, that's been my, like, the last 4 days of my life. And guess what? I'm off work again tomorrow, and it's my tomorrow too. Just ripping and tearing and all of that fun stuff. So, yay! I imagine you've had I'm not going to say better week, but maybe a less hectic construction stressful week. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fighting some allergy stuff.
Oh, it's bad.
And it makes my life pretty darn miserable. But you know, what are you going to do? I mean, it's just the way it is, but yeah,
Claritin maybe?
Yeah, well, I do that. And sometimes it helps and other times I get a migraine. It's not fun.
I'm not even a huge allergy sufferer. And I think I kind of got a 1-2 punch of a nasty head cold. My voice actually still feels like it's a little bit deeper than normal. So, hey, ladies, I'm going to get right up in your ear. Oh, yeah. But I think I also got walloped with allergies. It's so bad out there right now. Yeah, I'm on the Claritin train. I don't know if it's helping or not, but it's certainly not hurting. So anyway, that's what I got.
I wish that I could say that I've been useful. I changed the oil in my wife's car. That's pretty exciting.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, that's a pain in the neck.
Well, you see, I buying the right tool for the right job. I bought one of those vacuum extractors for the oil.
Ooh.
So I don't even have to, like, get under the car anymore. I suck that oil out.
Really? You just, like, put it down where the dipstick goes?
Yeah. You put it down in where the dipstick goes. You pump it a few times. You sit by and wait. A few minutes later, 5 quarts of oil is in this little round ball thing, and then you fill her back up and put a new oil filter on.
But you've got a Volkswagen. You can get to the oil filter through the hood, right? You don't have to get under the car.
Above the engine.
So. I got a stupid Merkin car where you've got to, like, put it up on ramps and all that fun stuff. But I didn't even know that was a thing. Isn't it great when you find a tool that just works well?
I mean, that it works really well, actually.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was thrilled when I learned about this toe kick saw, and yay, cool tools. God, how did people do this like 50 years ago? Like, life really must have sucked for the building trades. I'm just saying.
I think they had skills, and, you know, not that it doesn't take skill now, but I feel like it takes a significantly less amount of skill.
Now, I feel like if I could have found a couple of Amish guys, they probably would have just taken the cabinets out, done everything, and then gingerly put the cabinets right back in. Probably better than they found them.
Yeah,
which,
well,
I don't have those skills. I am dearthy in my Amish like skills, and I don't have any Amish friends.
Speaking of, you know, not having skills but wishing that you did. There's a show on, I want to say it's on History or Smithsonian, one of those channel ranges in there that I caught on TV today called Fire and Something, and it's basically about a guy who does a forge.
Oh,
and it's like,
okay.
Oh, I want to do that, but I don't want to do that.
It looks amazing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I have a friend that...
I think it looks really like way more physical labor than I've done ever in my entire life all put together.
Yeah, I have a friend who like a year and a half ago took a blacksmithing class at a local art outreach thing and made a rose, like just a metal rose. And you wouldn't think that would be hard to do. And he said it darn near killed him because, you know, you swing a 5-pound hammer for like 2 hours forging a rose out of a piece of bar stock. And when you're not in any kind of shape, that puts a hurt on you quick. So,
Well, anyway,
it looks fun. I want to try my hand at glass blowing. I've never done that. And I'm thinking molten glass and just white hot heat. What could possibly go wrong for me there? So, okay, we probably have bored people to death. Do we have some technology to talk about? Just stuff?
Sure.
What do you got? I have been out of the pocket. I have actually been working at work lately, which, you know, I know that's hard to believe. And I have not had a chance to loaf and preambulate about the internet. So maybe educate me on a story or two, Jeff.
So I know we kind of talked about this, I think, when we were talking about that it was a rumor, but the rumor hath come true. Rovi has agreed to acquire TiVo.
Uh-huh.
In a deal worth $1.1 billion.
Wow.
The acquisition was completed in March. It will be part cash and part shares. Actually, only $277 million will change hand. The rest will be paid in stock.
Okay.
The purchase will come with the normal regulatory approvals and will probably be completed in Q3 of 2016. Interestingly enough, it's pretty much just an IP grab.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the hardware, and there's some questions of whether or not TiVo hardware will continue.
So are they going to be billed as Rovi, or are they going to be TiVo, or is it going to be a third yet to be named entity?
I think it's going to be an entity to be named later.
Interesting.
But I think maybe TiVo hardware may be coming to an end. I mean, there's no Rovi doesn't really make anything now.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see. TiVo just a couple weeks before this announcement announced a new piece of hardware that's supposed to be coming out in May. Haven't heard anything on that, on whether or not it still is. That is a what they're calling a cord cutter box.
Yeah, it's over the air, right?
Yeah, it's only over the air, and there's no monthly fee.
Oh, really? No monthly fee? That's right. Always been their thing.
But it's a $400 unit. It has all the normal TiVo software, and it still connects to like Netflix and all the things like a normal TiVo unit does. Right. But there's no monthly fee.
Yeah, that $400 up front is going to be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's probably better in the long run, but you know, it's easier to bite it at $12 a month than $400.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I'm looking at this article, and it says that Rovi started life as Macrovision. I remember though that company way back in the VHS days. They supposedly had technology that would make it all impossible to copy VHS tapes. And it says they own thousands and thousands of patents relating to DRM and program guides. I had no idea. That's interesting. So,
and I think TiVo owns 6,000 or 7,000 patents related to DVR technology.
That's kind of amazing. 6,000 or 7,000 patents. You know, it's kind of sad if the hardware goes away because, I mean, I know that there are a few companies out there that do cord cutter-esque type hardware. Probably not anybody else really in the cable box, satellite box space because those are, you know, pretty locked down and controlled by the carriers. But it is sad that there's just like no choice for over-the-air recording. Not a lot of good choices if you want to be a cord cutter. And, you know, interestingly, I work with, two people now who I just recently learned have cut cords and live on over the air and, Hulu and Netflix and Amazon. And, their biggest complaint is there's nothing affordable out there for, you know, over the air. It's either, you know, wait until it's on Hulu, I think the next day, or you got to catch it live and there's, you know, and you can't pause and you can't, you know, run and get a snack or something like that. So that's, yeah, that would be sad if TiVo lost. It would definitely be the end of an era. I'm losing Replay, probably 5 years ago and potentially losing TiVo. Oh, that's sad and interesting. Yeah.
Wow. But I think they're going to have a hard time because I was talking to someone about this. There's a guy that I work with that had been talking about that he had cut the cord and he was only doing over the air stuff. And I mentioned to him, I said, oh, hey, did you see TiVo's going to be, you know, doing this over the air thing? And he's like, yeah, he said, I saw that, but it's $400. And I bought this one at Walmart that's an RCA and it cost me $35. And he's like, it kind of sucks because it doesn't name the files and you kind of have to go through and look at each one to just see what it is when you're going to watch it. But I don't know that it's worth $400. So, I mean,
it's a tough sell.
It's a tough sell in that market because people are doing it to try to save money.
Right.
And yeah, okay. So it's more convenient than this one at Walmart that costs $35, but $35 versus $400, that's a big difference. And if people are doing it to save money, they're not going to be like, well, I'm going to throw this extra money down.
No, right. You know. Well, and I know there's some options in the, I want to say like the $149 to $299 market. And again, it's stuff from, you know, like Sonry and Pranasonic and stuff like that. I mean, they're, you know, Chinese outfits and it's not name brand stuff that you've ever heard of, but it's a, you know, a quote unquote DVR. And I think some of them come with guides and some of them you have to hack guides into. And there are other things out there like Media Portal if you want to build your own home theater PC. But again, no guides. You've got to hack guides into it. I tinkered with that about 2.5-3 years ago, and it worked fine once you tinker it into working fine. But you've got to tinker, and it's not always stable, and sometimes it just crashes and doesn't record. And there's really no turnkey off-the-shelf, not crazy expensive option out there other than pay full price. That's interesting. I know that you made the jump a few weeks ago to T-Mobile and still enjoying that. You got a T-Mobile story in here.
I do. They just announced that at their quarter end that they added 2.2 million new customers.
Wow.
Over a million which were in the highly coveted postpaid, i.e. regular subscription user.
That's a lot.
That's significantly more than the 640,000 customers for the same quarter for Verizon.
Wow.
So they're growing.
People are flocking away from the other carriers.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. You know, it's a good quarter result for them, and it's a big increase for them. And at the time this article was written, AT&T hadn't posted yet. AT&T had over 2 million new customers, so they're not hurting by any means either.
Now, but, are those postpaid, or is that just total everybody?
That was total, and I think it was like 700,000 postpaid. So
okay. And what did and you said it was about a million postpaid and
a million
not
for T-Mobile.
For T-Mobile.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, again, I mean, I think it's always good. I mean, if they can continue to grow, that's only better for all of us because that means they'll build out their network better and competition's good, yada, yada, yada.
So I'm guessing maybe that ghetto commercial from Sprint did not do any damage to T-Mobile's
quarter. I don't think
quarter.
It did. I think, no.
So does that put T-Mobile in third yet, or are they still trailing in fourth behind Sprint, do you know? Because I know that they and Sprint had swapped places a few times, but the last time I looked, they were in fourth place. But I think just a little bit.
This does not say how many subscribers Sprint has. It says T-Mobile has a total of 65.5 million now compared to Verizon's 112 million.
Wow, so Verizon has almost twice
double
as many.
Yeah.
Huh.
But they're still, I mean, they're catching up. I mean, it's not as bad as it was, I don't think. Let's see if a quick Google can tell me how many subscribers Sprint.
Now this is interesting. So as of the end of last year, actually from an article dated December 3rd, the best day of the year because it's my birthday, Consumer Reports ranked T-Mobile as the number one carrier customer satisfaction and service.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
They took over from Sprint, but I think that goes back and forth. So
yeah, I know they're really, really close and swap. That's really interesting. I'm happy. You know, knock on wood, I've been happy with AT&T. Man, if T-Mobile could have fixed the in building signal problems faster, I would have stayed with T-Mobile. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't tried it in the last 8 months, so maybe it's gotten better in the Indianapolis market.
It has for me. I haven't had any problems, but
something
that
to
being said,
look at.
You know, yeah. Anyway, kind of interesting.
Very
cool. What else do I have? Oh, this one I thought was interesting. In a Reuters poll, found that more than 50% of U.S. voters believe the system that the American political parties use to select their candidates for each president is rigged.
So we're not talking about the election. We're talking about the primary.
Right.
I mean,
and it says over 2/3 of those polls want to see the process changed.
Define rigged. Like, I feel like it's definitely built to make it better for the leaders. Sure.
Yeah.
Like the people that the party seems to want to pick. Although I know that the Republicans are going nuts over the fact that it doesn't seem like anybody can stomp Donald Trump. And
yeah, I don't. I mean, yeah.
So interestingly, so I mean, national focus for just a second. I know that when this show comes out, it is going to be Indiana's primary on May 3rd. So for most people who are listening to this, probably in the past, and they aren't in Indiana and don't really care. There's a blog that I follow, which I'm a little bit into politics, but I'm not one of those rabid, like, my guy's the best guy and your guy sucks. I mean, I'm just kind of generally interested. I don't hate any of the candidates. I don't love any of the candidates. I just kind of like to, you know, I'm interested in the process. Let me put it that way. And I know they've been saying that Indiana is going to be a key state for Trump because if Kasich or Cruz can stop him here, that it really puts the dampers on future primaries and getting him to his 1,200 and some odd delegates and clinching the nomination. And there's a blog. It is run by Nate Silver, who is a statistician. It's called 538.com. And I think it's all spelled out, FiveThirtyEight.com. And he got his start as he analyzed, I think it was baseball and was just a number crunching guy, and then got into politics and realized that he could apply a lot of his algorithms to politics as well. And so he crunches the primaries, and he doesn't predict, he does predict by how much a person is going to win, but he predicts the chances of a candidate winning. And as late as Thursday or Friday of last week, Cruz was handily beating Trump, and they were attributing that to the fact that, in theory, Kasich and Cruz were going to divvy up the remaining states and try and stop Trump, or whatever that hashtag no more Trump, hashtag not my Trump, I don't know what it is, but shut Trump down and force a contested convention and all that fun stuff. And I just was looking at it today, talking to my sister, because she's has no idea who she wants to vote for or why. And like I told her, honestly, it doesn't make a huge difference. Like, none of the candidates are amazing. Yeah, whatever, do what you want. And they have got Trump now solidly in the lead over Cruz. So I think Indiana is going to go in for Trump, and that I don't like that very much. But anyway, if you are a politic wonk and have not looked at 538, I definitely recommend checking it out. Anyway, I didn't mean to get down that rabbit hole. So what do people want from their primary process, Jeff?
It doesn't really get into what they want. They just want something different. You know what I want? Let's talk about what I want, because that's what's really important.
Be named dictator for life?
No, I would not want that.
Oh,
I would not want that at all.
I wouldn't want to be the president, but I would want to be dictator.
No,
absolutely.
No thanks. I'll pass. But what I would like to see, the primaries be nationwide on the same day.
Okay.
I would like to see the rules be the same for every state.
Okay.
I think that those two things make it pretty simple.
Yeah, except that the primaries are not those are all run by the parties themselves.
I understand that.
And I mean, and even so, how the Republicans and the Democrats do it are different. So,
and
I
they're
don't
different
know.
At every state level. My they point are. Being is they need to make that stop. There's right. no reason it has to be that way. The federal government can step in and say,
they could.
This is the way the primaries are going to happen. I mean, that's not unreasonable. It's just ludicrous that the rules are different. And I understand everyone knows the rules going in. That is actually a true statement. I get that. I think the bigger important one is I think all the primaries should be on the same day.
Yeah.
A couple states here, a couple states there. It's silly. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't like it.
I don't disagree. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are implications and downsides in a general election, but I would like to see the electoral system replaced or reworked.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I live in Indiana. Doesn't matter whether I want to vote for a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, a Green Party, whatever. Odds are pretty strong that Indiana is going to cast its electoral votes for a Republican. And so my vote doesn't really matter.
Pretty strong, although that was not the case for Obama's first
term. That's true. That is true. 2008. But that's the first time in a long, long time Indiana went blue.
I hate to go down the political rabbit hole, but I did see an interesting article, and it talked about that the election anymore, based on the divisiveness of the country, comes down to Florida, and that's it.
Really? I thought Ohio was a key one, too.
Pretty much, if you look at the last elections since like 1993, whenever that one was.
Florida's the decider?
That Florida's been the deciding state every time. And so it's basically just, we should just let Florida vote, and whoever they elect, that's who it is. Because, you know, California's going to go Democrat, New York's going to go Democrat. You know, it laid it out.
So what are your true swing states, right?
Yeah. So the only true swing states that matter at this point is Florida.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. Man, I would really hate for Florida to be the decider for all of us.
But you know, you just talked about it, and there's just no reason. The Electoral College is not valid anymore. I mean, it just doesn't, we don't need it.
I don't think we do, but, you know, smarter men than I formed and founded the country, so maybe we do. And
well, they did that when the form of communication was not nearly as
a horse and buggy.
Yeah, and reliable as it is now. I mean, I don't think you can say that they were stupid. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that if you look at the current situation, I don't think they would have come up with that as an alternative.
Yeah, what would it have looked like if the technology was wildly different? I agree.
Right.
I agree. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, it's not easy to just wave your hands around and come up with something that's better, because no matter what, somebody's always going to just hate it. But yeah, I don't know. I I am really torn. Like, I do not know what I want to do tomorrow. I don't like Trump. I can't bring myself to vote for Cruz to stop Trump, because I would feel icky voting for Cruz. And honestly, I don't really care for, you know, Bernie or Hillary. So I don't care to vote. I don't know. Maybe I won't vote. Maybe I will exercise my right to be a horrible American. I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Okay. Just one more political story, just because, gosh darn, I can't help it.
Okay.
I was mowing the grass last week and I got a phone call, and it was from the people from the Ted Cruz campaign wanting me to know if they could count on my vote.
Not just a no, but a heck no.
And I spent 25 minutes on the phone with that dude.
Really?
And I thought there were several times that I thought I heard his head explode through the phone.
Like,
it was
what?
Awesome. He's like, so you're voting for Trump? And I'm like, yeah, no, I think I'm going to vote Democrat this time. And he's like, what? And
you can hear, like, do that?
And he's like, why would you do that? And I'm like, well, you know, I said, I would consider myself a fiscal conservative. And I said, while I understand that choosing Republican in the elections is probably the more of the fiscal conservative, I said, I don't feel like any of the Republican candidates are true fiscal conservatives. And I said, you know, the Republican Party lost me when they decided to create Homeland Security and spend billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars creating this whole new agency that we didn't really need. And he was just, but what about the children? It was awesome. It was the best phone call ever.
I don't have it in me to, like, talk to those people. Like, I just get up in knots because I can't take it lightly. I just can't. I can't take it for the high level light what it is.
I see. And I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Indiana is nice in that I can wait till tomorrow to decide. I can vote Republican. I can vote Democrat. I get to pick when I get there.
Right, right.
Which is nice, because some states aren't like that.
Right, you have to declare ahead of time.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow either. I'm probably going to do what you just said and exercise my right to not choose, because quite honestly, I'm not a fan of any of them. And I'm, you know, like, if I had to pick, I'd say nobody but Trump. It's kind of like, you know, when
anybody but Trump.
Yes, anybody but Trump.
I was going to say, please don't say nobody but Trump, because I'm going to have to end this podcast right now.
Trump, like, kind of like, you know, rooting against the New England Patriots. Like,
yeah.
Similar to that.
Who are you for? Anybody who's not that guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either, and we'll see tomorrow. It may end up that I just go to Lowe's and buy more home renovation supplies and am part of the problem, and you don't get to complain if you don't participate in the process. And guess what? I'm still going to complain, because I have a podcast, and that's what we do. Gersh darn it.
That is right. Hey, let's change the tide a little bit. I had an article that we should post links to.
Okay.
That show us our first look at... the upcoming Netflix hero Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah. You've mentioned this, but I don't know that much about it.
So, Daniel Rand is the Iron Fist. The actor Finn Jones, who was Loras Tyrell in the Game of Thrones.
He was the Knight of Roses?
Yes.
Okay.
He is going to be the Iron Fist.
Okay. He doesn't strike me as superhero-ly that much.
No. I mean, I can agree with that. And the picture showing playing hacky sack in the middle of the street. So, you know. But it's interesting because...
not the hero we need. It's the hero we deserve.
That's right. But I thought you might be interested, just to get us off that topic.
Anything to stop talking about politics.
That's right.
Next week is going to be all religion, folks.
Yeah. I mean, hey.
It's going to be a short episode.
I'm ready for the Iron Fist.
He is a bit bearded and hippie-ish, and he is hacky-sacking.
A man
with no cares, with no shoes on in the street in New York City, which I can't abide that.
Yeah. And then another on the Netflix Marvel Universe world, I don't have a link for this one, but saw this week that they officially announced that the Punisher... standalone Netflix series is a go. We have a go launch on Punisher.
I thought that they had already said that he was definitely a go.
It was It was not official. As a matter of fact, the only official word from Netflix up to this point was that there were no plans for a Punisher series.
Really?
There were only supposed to be 5 series. They're supposed to be Luke Cage, mm-hmm. Iron Fist, mm-hmm. Daredevil, and Jessica Jones, and then The Defenders, which is a group of the 4 of them together.
Right.
Those were the only 5 that were confirmed. They just, I guess last week, confirmed that, hey, the Punisher seemed to be really popular, and we're going to make him have his own series.
Oh, well, that's cool, because he was, I don't have it in front of me. I cannot think of that actor's name off the top of my head. Shane, I'm going to call him Shane from Walking Dead.
Shane,
he did play the character fantastically.
The only thing that I question is, if you're going to have the Punisher, you really need it to be Kingpin. So I don't know how that's going to work. Like, are they going to pull Kingpin out?
Yeah. Will he be back?
Daredevil and put him in? Anyway, hey, 2 thumbs up, because I thought he did an excellent job as the Punisher. Great job with the character as a whole. And more Netflix, Marvel co-mingling is okay by me.
So this is a question that maybe there's no answer to, but I heard somebody, and I don't even remember who, or I would give it credit. I'm definitely not trying to say this is my theory. On the radio was talking about the superhero movie of the late, tens and early teens is the same as in the 50s and 60s, the Western, where everything was Westerns, Western sure. this and Western that. And, you know, it's going to have its bubble and its burst. And okay. I thought that was really an interesting, because you go, well, how long can people ride the superhero? And I mean, like, the Westerns was what, 12, 15 years. And I'm just curious if it is the same kind of cycle with an ebb and a flow like the Westerns were in the 50s and 60s.
I think that it's quite possible that that's the case. The only argument that I would make against that is that superhero movies, I think, are more diverse than what you see in a Western. A Western is basically, it's going to be in the same, same setting, same, genre. Whereas superhero movies, you have like Guardians of the Galaxy, which is more comedy set in a space type, arena. Obviously, the Avengers is different. I just think that there are enough differences there, or there are more differences there. Mm-hmm. The stuff on Netflix is a lot grittier. I would call Jessica Jones more of a drama than I would really a comic book show. I mean, yes, it had comic book flavor to it, but mm-hmm. it really wasn't about her powers as much as it was about what happens to people that are abused.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's possible. I hope not, because I really like the comic book genre.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that, just like the Western had its heyday, so will the superhero, genre. And, in 10 years we'll be past that and it'll be something else. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was interesting. I hadn't really thought about it like that, especially with the proliferation of movies and franchises and whatnot these days.
There certainly is a lot out there, and I mean, it seems like more and more. So, I don't know. I'm going to enjoy it while it's here, because I love it.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I thought this was an interesting one. You had put a link to it, and I had not read this, but I guess shows me what I know. So apparently, the iPhone SE, that the little iPhone that's stupid, yeah, apparently it is selling like hotcakes. The demand has been outstripping supplies, there is one analyst at RBC who is suggesting that is going to add 15 million handset sales in 2016 for Apple, which, I mean, color me shocked. I would not have thought that would do that. But they're saying that, all in, that they're predicting 40 million 4-inch iPhones sold in 2016. I think that number is inclusive of any of the 4-inch phones, but I know that Apple is trying to aggressively get people onto the SE so that they're into the latest hardware, the NFC with the Apple Pay and the Touch ID and all of that fun stuff. So, I thought that was interesting. They also estimate, and this is I guess not surprising, but that the bill of materials comes in at about $260 on the iPhone SE. And so their selling price starts at $399 for the 16 gig model. So that puts Apple right at its sweet spot of, you know, like a 35% profit margin, which is a little lower, I guess, than some of the other models, which they believe are in the mid 40% range. But shoot, with technology, if you can reliably bring in 35%, that's pretty healthy. I mean, I think that, you know, anybody that makes other, and I don't know what the numbers are for, you know, Samsung, for HTC. I have no idea what their profit margins are. But just I know in the you know, IT hardware category in general, like 35% is probably, you know, unheard of for, you know, servers and desktops and things like that. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Color me completely wrong. I figured they would not sell very many of them, and they're moving them faster than they can build them. So, good on you, Apple. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The stock market is just baffling to me. I understand that it's more about what you are going to do maybe in the future. And, you know, Apple took a really bad hit on the quarter. They had their first drop, you know, in years.
What, like 70 quarters or something like that?
Yeah, and just everybody has lost their mind and Apple's doomed and I just don't see it. But I'm not an expert. Tim Cook was on Mad Owl today, and I didn't get a chance to watch it, but you know, they're out there beating the drums saying that it's not the end, but I don't know.
Well, of course it's not the end. I mean, just because the street punishes them for a quarter that they didn't, you know, we only had $2.86 per share instead of $2.93 per share.
I don't understand it either.
And that makes a world of difference to Wall Street, and that's crazy to me, but that's probably why I'm not a billionaire.
I want to throw this one out there just because I think it's a good deal. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. This app called Paribus.
I never heard of it.
I shared on Twitter and on Facebook something about this, and I thought I'd talk a little bit about it on the show. It's an app that automatically refunds you when price of items that you have bought online drops.
Okay.
So the caveats, you have to give it access to your email inbox, which it is going to go through.
Sure.
And look for shipping notifications and look for the item and look for how much you bought it for and who you bought it from.
Okay.
I think of it as a lot like the company Slice that does same type of thing to tell you when your items are going to get there.
And to show you how much you've spent, which is a bad thing to know.
But Paribus works with Amazon, Best Buy, Sephora, Newegg, Staples, Bloomingdale's, Target, Bonobos, J.Crew, Zappos, Nordstrom's, Banana Republic, Gap, Old Navy, Macy's, Piperline, Walmart, Kohl's, and Office Depot. So far. And basically what it does is it looks for how much you spent and then it scans for whatever the store's policy is. You know, some have 15 days, some have 30 days, whatever. It scans those for you. And if it finds a discount, it gets the discount for you from that store and puts it back on your credit card. They take a 25% cut.
But it's free money.
Yeah. Now, so far, I haven't gotten any refunds. So, you know, for what it's worth, in the 4 or 5 days that I've been using it, I haven't gotten anything, but I figure it's worth at least trying. And the deal that they have going right now is if you use the code that I sent out in Facebook and or Twitter to sign up, you will cut 5% off that 25% fee, and I will get 5% off. So ultimately, if you get five people to sign up for you, you're going to have
free.
No fees.
Wow.
So that's a limited time thing. So if you sign up with me and then send your link out, feel free. That'd be great. I think I'm down to like 10% anyway, with the people that have signed up off my code. But anyway, I think it's worth at least looking at. I have not saved anything. One of the interesting things about the app is if you go into the app, you can see trends. And it shows you other people that have saved money. It doesn't show you who.
Right.
But it just shows you like, oh, this person just saved, you know, $75 on this TV that they bought on Amazon and then we found it cheaper. So I think it does work. And I just happen to have not had any items. Now, one of the things to know, like I had an item that it found a cheaper price on, but it came up and said, we found a cheaper price, but this isn't valid for price matching because it was something that I had bought on Amazon, but not from Amazon. No, it was one of those ones that was like,
a
marketplace type thing. And they said it wasn't, you know, applicable for that item because it was a marketplace purchase, but just interesting. you know, I guess it should scare me a little bit that they're scouring through my email, but I can take that away anytime I want.
Right.
Through Google, because I use Google. So, yeah, I mean...
So this is interesting. So I was looking at this article that you had linked to, and it looks like the comments are generally positive. The one negative, and this isn't really, I guess, a paribus negative. It's a limitation of the technology. But they mentioned that if you use two-factor authentication with Amazon, which I do, paribus can't use it right now.
Right.
So I guess it'll tell you that it found an order from your email, but it doesn't know how to get in and track it. So you would have to turn off your two-factor, which I'm kind of – I don't know if I want to do that because I like my two-factor keeping myself safe. But that's really cool. I was totally unaware of this, but that's a neat idea. Huh. I'm going to have to I'm going to definitely have to look into that.
It's worth at least – taking a look at, I think. I mean,
totally. That's, you know, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I buy so much stuff online that to me, it's a no-brainer to at least give it a shot. See if I can save any money. Free money is free money, right? I mean,
hell. Right. Well, okay. So playing the other side of that, because I mean, basically what it, I mean, it's an arbitrage service. So like, at what point does Amazon go, we're giving too much away to this and start altering how they do price? Like, could this actually affect the market? Like, could it be that disruptive? And I'm curious. That's really interesting. Huh. Yeah, I'm going to download that and check it out. That's really cool. Awesome tip.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's it could have been what I love, but I decided to throw it in as an actual story. Because I don't want to love it yet because I'm not 100% sure it's going to work. I mean, it has not worked yet for me, but that doesn't mean it won't work, right? I mean,
right.
So, yeah.
Well, and hey, even if you save $10, it's $10 more than you had yesterday.
I'll take $10.
That's right. I'll take $9. See how this works? We just keep going down until we both take zero and we're happy. you had linked one in here, which I think it might be getting a little bit stale now, but it was out in mid-April. So I did want to touch on it because I have a funny, oh, crud, what did I do moment. But there was a story that was floating around a week or so ago about a guy who accidentally typed the wrong thing into his server and apparently nuked some 1,500 customers' websites. Just did the old rm --rf in the wrong place, and that says remove everything and do it right now and don't ask me. I mean it. Go do it. And apparently he did it at a elevated level and wiped off a whole bunch of stuff. Apparently the script he was running normally only deletes certain specific files, but there was a typo. It went wrong, and all of their servers, all of their offsite backup, everything that was connected was all wiped. And I guess that there was a happy ending. The company was able to hire a data recovery company who was able to I think recover some 1,500 accounts and get them somewhat back up. But I mean, that's a big old oopsie. You don't want to delete thousands of accounts, or you know, even 1,000 account, or heck, 200. You just don't want to do it. That's bad. And years and years ago, when you have that oh crap moment, I was working at this little internet company, and my job was to set up the one of the servers, which happened to authenticate users as they were dialing in. Yes, this was back in the good old days of I think this was actually even before 56K. I think like maybe 24K was like the 33.2 was the top of the line. They hadn't even come out with 56K yet. So the server did user authentications that were dialing in as well as hosting the websites. And I was in the wrong place. And I basically told the server, hey, make all of these files in this directory owned by my user account. Only I wasn't in the right directory. And I hit return. And instead of it coming back in like a second, it was blinking and blinking and blinking. And after about 40 seconds, I had that kind of cold, just cold feeling in the pit of my stomach. And I went, oh man, what did I do? And so I'm hitting Control-C just as hard as I can. It finally breaks it. And I start looking. And I had, in essence, locked out 2,500, 3,000 users from being able to dial in and authenticate. Oh, and it was so bad. And we did not have that particular server backed up. And I don't even remember how long it was. I mean, it was like 12 hours that I sat there manually fixing account by account the user permissions until I got them all done. And I learned my lesson. And now anytime I'm working as an elevated user and I do anything that might remotely affect more than one file at a time, I always stop, take my hands physically away from the keyboard and double check, what am I about to do? Because that is the worst feeling ever. So I feel bad for this guy. I mean, hopefully his company doesn't go out of business over something like that. But man, I have been there. I feel for you. The Bleem Boy, that's his name, Bleem Boy, which I guess I wouldn't necessarily use a hosting company where the guy goes by Bleem Boy. But whatever, I feel for you. I've been there, buddy. It sucks. Oh, do I feel for you? That's the worst feeling ever. Yeah. Oh. I almost am a little sick to my stomach just thinking about it. I haven't thought about that in years. That was a long time ago. I don't know. Do you got any other stories you want to talk about, Jeff? I think we're coming up on about, 45 minutes or so. You want to wrap it up? What do you want to do?
Oh, let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Okay.
Wrap
well,
it up.
I guess I need to talk about what I love then.
Please do.
So I got an interesting little gadget. I am a weak-willed person, and like two weeks ago, happened to notice that, there was a thing on Amazon on sale. Hey, great sales. I like sales. And Amazon happened to be offering a, hey, buy this now, and we'll just bill you every month for the next 5 months. So that's just $30 a month. And I went, huh, $30 a month? I spend $30 a month in dumb crap all the time. Not quite as bad as paying $150 all at once. Why not? I'm going to pull the trigger on it. And I bought an Amazon Echo. And so I've had it for, I guess, about a week now. And holy cow, it is magical. Like, I probably don't use it as much as it could be used because I'm not listening to music every moment that I'm home. But it really does work like they show in the commercials. You say the code word, which is Alexa, and hopefully I'm far enough away it's not going to hear me. And then you tell it to do something, and it friggin' does it. And, like, it works brilliantly. You could tell it, play music. You can tell it play this out of my Amazon library. You can tell it, if you're a Prime customer, you can tell it to play Prime music, and it does, and it just works, and you can ask it questions, and I've had it set timers and reminders. I've not bought anything with it, but you can have it buy things. And one of the cooler things is that I months and months and months ago, probably last year, one of the things that you had mentioned was a little Wink bulb kit that you could get for like $25 as a deal. And you get the little hub and you get two bulbs, and it was like $25. And I bought it, and hey, it worked. And I never really had a use for it. Except that, Alexa talks to Wink stuff. And so you go into the little app and you go, hey, discover my network. And it goes, oh, I found two bulbs. What do you want to call them? And you give it a name, and then you can just say, Alexa, turn on the bedroom light. Boom. And it turns it on. Alexa, dim the bedroom light. Boom. It's dim. It is magical. I'm not going to say I am all in. You should rush right out and buy one. No questions asked. But if you like cutting edge gadgety stuff and you want something that truly seems magic, I highly recommend it. And I have been using it a lot the last few days because, you know, around the house working, you know, working on the floors and working in the house, you know, you have a playlist on, you can, you know, like I had to remember to go do something today. And so I told Alexa to set me a timer, and it did. And it, you know, gives you it's amazing. It'll tie into your calendar. Two thumbs up. So if you can catch one on sale, I would, and you're a nerd, which hopefully that is our audience right there. Nerds who like stuff on sale.
I
would highly, highly recommend checking it out. And I'm willing to bet that Amazon is going to maybe do this again. And so if you can catch it on the same deal, I think it was like $150. And they were doing a 5 months, we'll just bill you one-fifth every month for 5 months. So it's like $30. Whatever. That's a steal. $30 a month. I would totally, totally recommend checking it out. The thing is just, it is cool. And I mean, they're adding to the software, I guess, all the time, and it can do more now than it could a year ago when it came out. So that is what I love. The Amazon Echo, it is fan-freaking-tastic. I already want to get like one of the Echo Dots for the bedroom so that like I can wake up in the morning and say, Alexa, put on NPR. Boom. I've got NPR. I can listen to the headlines while I'm getting ready. Two thumbs up. Highly recommend it. That is what I love. How about you, Jeff?
That's really cool, man.
It is.
I'm a little A little jealous, but
I recommend it. Pull the trigger. Just pull the trigger.
Yeah, I should. Well, let me talk about what I love. I found a new podcast that I've now listened to every single one of and am enjoying and am on the subscription list. It's called The Lore Podcast. It's by a gentleman named Aaron Mankey. I'm going to read you the little blurb that he has about the Lore podcast. It says, "Our fears have roots. Lore exposes the darker side of history, exploring the creatures, people, and places of our wildest nightmares, because sometimes the truth is more frightening than fiction." So, he basically takes a topic. He's talked about vampires. He's talked about werewolves. He's talked about, the Kill Castle up in Chicago.
I don't know the Kill Castle.
Oh, you've never heard of the Kill Castle, huh? Anyway, he talks about the woods and, like, you know, different creatures that have been known to be in the woods. Anyway, he basically takes a folklorish type thing and then talks about, you know, some of the myths or the legends or the truths behind what made those popular. It's really interesting. They're all about like 20 to 30 minutes long, so it's not like a real big huge time sink.
Okay.
He does them bi-weekly. He's up to episode 33 so far. He's wildly more successful than us, which makes me hate him a little bit. He has over $8,000 a month of people on Patreon that are giving him money.
Oh, wow. That's some real money right there.
That he has given up his real day job, and this is his now day job, kind of.
Wow.
He's a writer, so he has some fictional books out there. He was a huge Stephen King fan. He actually got his start on the internet with a website that was a X-Files fan site.
Oh, and, okay.
You know, the topics that he discussed are somewhat X-Files-esque, I would say, kind of. He actually just signed a deal with the producers of The Walking Dead for a new television show based on lore.
Wow.
It's going to be X-Files-esque, you know, people that go in and are, you know, searching for this, blah, 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 blah. So it's fictional, but kind of based on the lore idea. So, you know, again, wildly more successful than us, and for that I hate him a little bit, but I do enjoy the podcast, and if you are into those kind of things, you know, Jacob introduced me to Art Bell years ago now.
Oh, I love Art Bell.
I do too. And I was talking to someone about that. He was looking for a conspiracy theory podcast, which I think is actually a market, Jacob, that you and I need to look into.
Oh,
because there aren't
no.
any that I have
really?
Found.
I'm shocked.
And not that, I mean, nothing that I have found on iTunes. And I really think this is a market that we need to explore.
Oh, I could be kooky. That's no problem.
Anywho, we'll discuss that more later. Maybe coming soon to you, near you. No better than conspiracy. No better than average conspiracy. Anyway, when I was in the search for, you know, the kooky, weird, wild stuff, I came across this podcast, and I have to admit, I enjoyed it. It's really good. So I can highly recommend checking that out. Again, it's called Lore Podcast. If you search on any of the things that you use to get your podcast, you will find it. You can also go to lorepodcast.com.
And that's L-O-R-E, lore.
Yes,
L-O-R-E-P-O-D.
As in folklore. L-O-R-E.
Yeah, folklore.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah, so awesome. You've listened to another fine episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. If you would like to call in and leave us a comment, a question, a rant, anything, please feel free to call in at 317-643-1212.
Nice.
I know, right? You can always follow us on Twitter at No Better Show. I am at Jeff_Cheney. He is at Not The Real Jacob. Head on over to our blog at www.nobettershow.com. You can always send us an email at feedback@nobettershow.com. We always like to hear from you. And if you would like to support the show, similar to our other patrons, Carl, Dennis, Jamie, Jeffrey, Jimmy, John, Kai, and Todd, please do so. We greatly appreciate any and all. We're trying to get up to the $8,000 mark.
Yes. So just 7,900 and like 90 some odd more people to go.
That's right. But no, you know, any help is appreciated. Obviously, it would be a dream if Jacob and I could do this for a living, and I don't even know what that would look like, but it would certainly be very awesome.
If we could do it for a living, I feel like we could bore these people every single day.
Yeah, I mean, I would be more than willing to at least do two episodes a week if we could get up to, you know,
$10,000 a month. You've had your challenge thrown, people. Make it happen.
Or, if you want us to go the other way, if we get up to $10,000 a month, we'll only do it every 2 weeks like this guy does. Anywho, we do appreciate all the support, all the well wishes, and... you know, that Maserati still hadn't come yet. We're waiting.
Yeah, I know.
Until next week, this is your Know Better Than Average podcast. And now, hopefully you know better than average too. Thanks for dropping by, everybody.
Have a great week, everyone.